Welcome to tape number 16 of The Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption by Patrick Gillespie. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. There is no copyright on this material, and we encourage you to reproduce it and pass it on to your friends. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discount, is on the web at www.swrb.com. You can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. And now to our reading of The Ark of the Covenant Opened, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption, which we pray you find to be a great blessing, and which we hope draws you near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing our reading of chapter 15 of the requisites in a mediator. Number 6. A mediator must be potent and able to compass his undertaking. Christ is such a mediator. Psalm 89, verse 19. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Isaiah 9, verse 6. His name shall be called the Mighty God. He is a potent mediator, one, in respect of the power that is in his hands. Consider his ability to compass the work committed unto him in respect of his essential power and kingdom, and in respect of his dispensatory power and kingdom. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. He is able to save to the utmost perfectly. Hebrews 7, 25. He is mighty to save. Isaiah 63.1. He is able to save from sin and all that is in it, whether guilt, power, or defilement, and from wrath and all that may follow upon it. He is able to supply all our wants and to do for us exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Philippians 4.19, Ephesians 3.20. And consider his ability to perform whatsoever he hath undertaken, and that as well for God to man as well for man to God. He is able to do whatever he hath engaged to do on God's behalf, to finish the work that he gave him to do. John 17, verse 4. And for this cause he is a king by covenant, and hath all power in heaven and earth given to him. Matthew 28, verse 18. Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Chapter 8, verse 1. That's Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven. Ephesians 1, verse 20 and 21 and 22. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things to the church. 2. He is a potent mediator in respect of the trust and delegation of power given to him, for settling and removing the difference betwixt the parties, the arbitration being rendered up to him to determine and lay his hands on both. John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. This is a great power that is put in Christ's hands, that he shall order the satisfaction that shall be given, so as to bring about the giving of it upon the one part and acceptation of it upon the other part. John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. 3. in respect of the powerful interest he hath with both the parties, one, with God his Father, with whom he is very gracious, and hath power with him to procure his acceptance of such satisfaction as he offereth. Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And to obtain from him whatsoever he desireth for the believer on the other party. John 11:42. And I knew that thou hearest me always. John 17:24. Father, I will that they also with whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. 2. He hath a powerful interest with man to make him offer the satisfaction which his Father is content to accept, to make him subject his consent to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 9:13, John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, and to make him walk in the way which may please his Father. Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit in you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. A potent mediator that hath a great stroke of power with both the parties, to reconcile God to man by his accepting the sacrifice of Christ's death, and to reconcile man to God by his humbling himself to offer satisfaction to God in Christ. 7. A mediator must be faithful and true to the interest of both parties in his mediation, seeking and studying their good. Christ is eminently such. Hebrews 2:17, Revelation 1:4, and Revelation 3:14, and Revelation 19:11. Consider how he is faithful to both the parties, and how he is faithful to the business of reconciliation, which is the end of a mediator. 1. He is faithful to the parties. And 1. To God he is faithful to him that appointed him. Hebrews 3:2. True to his Father's interest in seeking his honor, executing his will, satisfying his justice. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. John 8:49. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. 2. He is faithful to man, and true to his interest in dealing effectually with his Father on our behalf in all things, wherein we have dealing with God. Hebrews 2:17. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining unto God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. 1 John 2:1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. 2. He is faithful to the business which is the end of his office, to wit, reconciliation, and making friendship betwixt the parties. This being entrusted to him, he maketh his work, and minds it exceedingly. Luke 2:49. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? John 4:34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And this appeareth, 1. In his faithful agenting the business of our peace in heaven, whither he is gone for the making and maintenance peace, whither he is gone for the making and maintaining peace between God and his people, there to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9:24, John 17 throughout, Revelation 8:3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. 2. In his faithful reporting back again to his people what may be expected by them at his Father's hands, he is the messenger of the covenant and the true and faithful witness. Malachi 3:1, Revelation 1:5, John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Ephesians 2:17. And came and preached peace to them which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. 3. in his effectual procuring his people's peace with his father, he never giveth over dealing in the business until it be done and ended, and the treaty be closed and signed, until he have finished the work, John 17, verse 4 and 24, and have said unto his people, Peace I give you, John 14, verse 27, Ephesians 2, 14, 15, and 16. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. 8. A mediator must be a wooer of both the parties, to bring them in friendship together. The mediator of the new covenant did this eminently. He wooed God for us and wooed us for God, which none of the parties had access to do immediately without his interposing betwixt them. And this he doth several ways. One, by praising and commending both the parties and speaking good of each of them to the other, as it were behind their backs. He commendeth God to us, John 6:39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. John 14, verse 2, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. John 16, verse 17, For the Father himself loveth you, and he commendeth us to God. John 17, verse 8 and 25, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. 2. By praying and requesting both the parties to be at peace, he entreateth his Father to be at peace with us. John 17, verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. And he entreats and requests us to be reconciled with his Father. 2 Corinthians 5, 20, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. 3. By engaging and becoming surety to both parties, for all that he speaketh in the name of any of the parties unto the other. Hebrews 7:22. By so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. He maketh faith and undertaketh that we shall find God as good as the commendation which he puts upon him, and he makes faith to come Godward, that he shall make us answer his promises in our name, and what we do not he shall do for us. A mediator must be of a courageous and unsubdued spirit, to go through difficulties, discouragements, and opposition without being laid by in his work, else in dealing for reconciliation betwixt parties that are in a great distance, he should soon be discouraged. Christ is eminently such a person. He goeth on in the work of redemption and reconciliation, saving his people and subduing his enemies. And though there be many enemies to this peace, and many discouragements be cast in his way from some of the parties themselves, yet doth he go on in his work with a heroic and undaunted spirit. He can neither be bowed, nor broken, nor laid by. Psalm 42, verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. 1. He was not broken nor discouraged by the weight of the work which he had undertaken. His duty broke him not, but he went on in it till he had ended his work. John 17, verse 4, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We read indeed that he wept sometimes, Luke 19:41, Hebrews 5:7. But he was not discouraged then, but went on to do his work. The courage of faith of his victory was not shaken nor crushed. 2. His enemies and all the opposition they could make to him did not break him nor lay him by. He would go up to Jerusalem where they sought to kill him. Luke 9:51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And Luke 13:32. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today, and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected. He would walk on his 12 hours. He knew not what unbelieving fear was. 3. His sufferings did not break him, nor lay him by from his work, when he sweat blood and when he suffered on the cross. Even then he set about his duty and intermitted it not, but minded sinners more than himself, often in prayer, calling for his mother, preaching to the thief, etc. Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and Luke 22. 4. His cold and bad entertainment, which he got from his people when he was about his work, did not break him nor lay him by. John 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the many scoffs, and the flighting carriage of his people, and the grieving of his spirit, and breaking his heart every day yet, doth not discourage him, nor lay him by from his work, and from endeavors for their reconciliation with God. Romans 10 to the last. But unto Israel, he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Luke 19:41 and 42. And when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. 5. The displeasure and wrath of both the parties, which he knew he behooved to go through, break him not, laid him not by, but he ventured to take on the displeasure of both, that he might agree them and take away the difference. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little one. Luke 19, verse 14. But his citizens hated him. Matthew 21, verse 38. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. 6. The fair offers of the world and smiles of temptation from it laid him not by, nor took him off the work which he came to do. John 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Matthew 4, verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Besides all these requisites in a mediator, which shine so eminently in Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, there are also some other properties in our mediator qualifying him for that office, which are peculiar to his mediation and are not to be found in any other mediator amongst men, namely, 1. His oneness and sameness with both the parties betwixt whom he mediates. There have been mediators among men who have had some interest and relations to both parties, but never any like to this one and the only mediator of the new covenant, which is perfectly one with both the parties, which stands at so great distance. Philippians 2, verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Hebrews 2, 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, and therefore he is so much engaged to make them one in him, he is nearly concerned in the union of these two parties. 1. In point of interest, he gaineth by it, his Father's honor is gained to him, and so is our happiness also. John 16, verses 14 and 15. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore saith I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Isaiah 59, verse 16. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. 2. In point of faithfulness he hath undertaken it and will do it, for he is a faithful and true. Revelation 1, verse 5. Revelation 3, verse 14. And Revelation 19, verse 11. 3. In point of honor, 'tis a crown to him to make the agreement betwixt God and man. John 17, verses 4 and 5. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Psalm 110 to the last. He shall drink the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. 4. In point of satisfaction, it's a comfort to him to see this union. Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. 2. Christ is a mediator who never declined to mediate in the business of all those who had any dealing with the king in court where he lies, being a potent, accessible mediator to all who will employ him. Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. 3. A mediator is always at hand, never absent from the court, never missing when sinners have any business with God. He is a constant agent who lieth away and always in heaven to make the address of his people to his Father. Revelation 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, and that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. But mediators among men are ofttimes far to seek and ill to find. 2 Samuel 14, verse 29. As Joab was when Absalom would have sent him to the king, who when he was sent for the first and second time would not come to him. 4. A perpetual mediator who neither dieth nor layeth down his office. Moses, who was a typical mediator, and Joseph, who dealt with Pharaoh for Israel, died, and then it went hard with Israel. But Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, continueth forever. Hebrews 7, verses 23 and 24. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Let us shortly hint some uses of these things, and one of the qualifications fitting Christ for this employment. Use number one. If Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, be a person interested in both parties, then there can be no ground to suspect him of partiality, but to look upon all that he propoundeth in the gospel in order to the reconciliation of God with sinners as coming from one who is nearly interested and well affected to both parties. It is our sin that we look upon Christ and the things propounded by him in the gospel as if he were for God only and not for us also. John 17, verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Use number two. If the mediator be so trusty a person, then let us entrust to him the managing of our everlasting interest. Know him to be such that you may, without fear and jealousy, confidently commit to him whatever you have to do with God. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him against that day. Use number 3. If the mediator be marvelously affected towards the union of God and sinners for the good of both parties, then bear with this his way of promoting your happiness, so as he may honor his Father. For he must have both in his eye, and therefore will make your peace and will make your make you happy by humbling you and making you seek his peace and by making you holy. Ephesians 1 verses 4 through 6. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And think not that any way that Jesus Christ will have his Father's honor in you is contrary to your happiness. Use number 4. If Christ hath power with both the parties betwixt whom he is a mediator, then you must needs let him dispose of you and command you wherein he will, for making your peace with his Father, and whatever power you yield to him over you, with your own consent, believe it. He will improve it for your advantage, and he hath credit with his Father to effectuate the business, for his part also. John 11, 42. And I know that thou hearest me always. 2. From the special requisites and graces which shine forth eminently in Christ managing the work of mediation. Use number 1. If Christ be a condescending mediator who hath stooped low to compass an union betwixt you and God, then it is your duty to stretch and raise yourself to meet him. Come and meet him. Will you let all the condescendence be on his side, and will you not yield and bow to him in anything? Nay, be it far from you. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. Use number 2. If he be a mollifying mediator who hath brought down God from his high demands of law, then 1. Consider with what ease your conditions with God is now granted. Consider the terms upon which Christ hath brought you an offer of God. 2. Be brought off the terms of distance whereupon you stand proudly with him. And 3. If Christ have broken you off from your proud terms wherein you stood with God, then you may judge thereby and conclude that he hath mollified himself also. Use number 3. If Christ be so affable, then put away your prejudices at him and your mishapen thoughts of him as if he were austere to his people, and be encouraged to come to him with everything relating to your peace with God. You shall find courteous and kind entertainment, and shall experience that the mediator is good to speak to. Use number 4. If the mediator be so meek and gentle, then believers may expect that he will bear with their infirmities, wherein they do not allow themselves, yea, cannot bear with themselves. Psalm 103, verses 9, 13, and 14. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Yet so as you would not tempt Christ, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, nor abuse his meekness and gentleness. For there is such a thing in Christ as gospel severity. The Lamb of God is a lion when he is stirred up to be angry. Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In Hebrews 10:26, For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Use number 5. If the mediator be so eminently merciful, then 1. If your condition be so miserable and the evils of your estate such as can plead pity, put no doubt but they shall find pity with him, even when you can scarce speak for piety to them, but only lay them before him, set them in his eye. Luke 19, verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, and for he was to pass that way. 2. Fear not to meet with rough dealing, repulses, untenderness, harsh answers. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. Believers, beware that you do not upon the matter deny your mediator's merciful disposition. Say not by your carriage that he is a hard man. Matthew 25, verse 24. Use number 6. Is he a potent mediator? Then, 1. Let sinners only deal to get Christ engaged for their peace, and the business is done. He shall bring it about. Isaiah 38, verse 14. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And Isaiah 53, verse 10. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. 2. Believers, know whom you have believed, how potent he is to do what he is entrusted, what is entrusted to him. Psalm 89, verse 19. I have laid help upon one that is mighty, that you may be comforted and your faith strengthened. Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Use number 7. If he is a faithful mediator, then 1. Be persuaded to give him more trust in the employment you put upon him. In all your business, leave your care upon this trusty person. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. 2. Then it must be a great sin and provocation in any way who have employed Christ to be jealous of him and to distrust his undertakings. Sure such do not know him well whom they have believed. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. 3. Believers who have fled to him for refuge and rolled over your temporal and everlasting interest upon him, you may quiet your minds and lie down securely without fear of the miscarrying of anything that is good for you. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6. I lay me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Use number 8. If our mediator be the wooer and suitor of both the parties unto the peace, then 1. Be you willingly wooed by him. Be not nice and wild when he is courting your heart to wed with him and to make peace with God. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Now be not ye stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary. When he prays for you and beseeches you to be reconciled to God, be not hard to be entreated. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 and 20. 2. Fear not, if your hearts have been towards to his propositions, if you be content to be wooed by him, doubt not, but he will get the Father's consent to whatsoever he propoundeth to you. Yea, he hath his mind and good will to whatsoever he propoundeth to you before he spoke with you. John 6, 37 and 38. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And John 17, verse 16, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me, gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. 3. Nor thanks to us that ever God and we were in good terms, but all thanks to the mediator, the wooer of both parties, the peacemaker, who came and preached peace and made peace. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Ephesians 2, verses 14 and 15 and 17. Use number 9. If our mediator be of so heroic and so unsubdued a spirit, then 1. Let all his enemies be afraid, and pack them out of his way, and stand not in the way to hinder the work which he hath undertaken for his people. He is of an unsubdued spirit, and cannot be laid by. Pack you, or he will ride over you. Psalm 110, verse 1 and 5. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Revelation 6, verse 2. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Psalm 45, verses 3, 4, and 5. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. 2. Believers, comfort yourselves in Christ's heroic spirit. He cannot be laid by nor turned from his purpose, neither by the opposition made by the enemies of your happiness, nor by the discouragements received from yourselves. 1 John 4, verse 4, and Isaiah 42, verse 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. See an eminent example of this in his dealing with the woman of Samaria, John 4, 10 and following. 3. Let us make some use of the whole properties and qualifications of our mediator, taking in also those which are peculiar to him. Hence a threefold exhortation. First, be exhorted to know what a mediator Christ is, a mediator and such a mediator, and the Apostle Paul hath many hints in his epistle to the Hebrews, which is written to set forth Christ in his offices, whereby he layeth a deal of weight upon the qualities of our mediator, being such a person, such a high priest, as the like was never heard of. Hebrews 1, 4, and Hebrews 3, 1, and Hebrews 4, 14 and 15, and Hebrews 5, 11, and Hebrews 7, 16, 24 and 26, and Hebrews 1 and 2, and Hebrews 9, 11 and 24. The ignorance of this, or not considering these things, is the cause why Christ's mediatorship is so little comfortable to believers. Study to know this better, that you may be comforted by it, that you have such a mediator, one whose office, interest, relations, engagements to you, and qualities before enumerated, may assure you that you have a friend in heaven, one to whom you may come for pity and help in all your miseries and distresses. 2. Be exhorted to more boldness in coming to the throne of grace. Believers, you dishonor your mediator, who, having so great a favorite at the court of heaven, should not with greater confidence come to God. Yet this boldness ought to be humble and awful, keeping in sight your own unworthiness and the awe of God's majesty. But be confident of the prevalency of Christ's mediation, Hebrews 4, 14 and 15 and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, with open mouth. Lay not weight upon your liberty, but let the confidence you have in your mediator give you boldness, which would beget and draw forth liberty in prayer for yourselves and for others. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 5. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 3. Be exhorted, you who have the offer of so great salvation and of Christ's mediator to be a friend to you in heaven, to take heed that you slight it not. Hebrews 2, verses 1 and 3. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews 12, 25 and 29. See that ye refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. For our God is a consuming fire. In Hebrews 10, verses 26, 29, and 39. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. How much soever punishment suppose that ye be thought worthy, you who have trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There is no sin nor judgment comparable to sins against the mediator, and judgment that follows these sins. John 15:22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Matthew 11:21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you hath been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Chapter 16. Of Christ's execution of the office of mediatorship. It remaineth now that something be spoken of Christ's execution of the office of mediatorship, into which he was called, and for which he was fitted and furnished, before I speak particularly how he carried on the work committed to him as mediator. I shall first lay down some general conclusions relating to his execution of the office of mediatorship, namely, 1. That Christ executed this office of mediatorship according to both natures. 2. That he executed this office from the beginning of the world, before he came in the flesh. 3. That he executed this office as well in the state of his exaltation as in the state of his humiliation. And 1. Of that question according to which nature Christ is mediator, whether according to his divine nature as God, or according to his human nature only as man, or according to both as God-man. Most part of the popish writers hold that Christ performeth the office of mediatorship not according to his divine nature, but according to his human nature only as man. Orthodox divines hold that Christ is mediator according to both natures, and doth not execute that office only as God, nor only as man, but as God-man. For clearing whereof, I shall premise a few things. 1. The question is not whether there be in the mediator the concurrence of both natures in the unity of his person, for that is confessed by all, but whether both natures concur in the works of mediation or in the execution of that office. 2. Nor is the question whether the two natures in Christ be distinct in their essence and properties, and so in their operations, for we yield that the human nature doth that which pertaineth to the humanity, and the divine nature that which pertaineth to the divinity. Yet so, as the natures being united in one person, so the operations concur to make up one work of a mediator, the human and divine natures concurring to produce one act or work of mediatorship. 3. Nor is the question whether all the works of Christ, the mediator, were the works of both natures, for it is certain some of them were the works of his humanity, some of his divinity in respect to the things done, but whether there was not a concurrence of both natures acting jointly, although distinctly, in the performing of them. 2. That both natures concur in Christ performing the office of mediatorship, and what he doth as mediator, he doth as God-man, may be confirmed by these reasons. 1. According to what nature Christ is the King, Priest, and Prophet of His Church, accordingly He is Mediator, for He carried these office as He was Mediator, but according to both natures Christ is King, Priest, and Prophet of His Church. For according to the approved rule, names of office which are given to Christ, they agree to Him according to both natures. Therefore, Christ executes the office of mediatorship as God-man according to both natures. 2. If the Godhead of Christ concurred with the manhood in all the acts of mediatorship, then Christ performeth not the office of mediator as man only, but as God-man. But we find the Godhead interested in every act which Christ did or doth as mediator. It is evident from the several acts of each of his offices, from his obedience, suffering, resurrection, intercession, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered him up himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ephesians 1:19-20. According to the working of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, none of which could be performed by his human nature alone, without concurrence of his Godhead. True it is indeed, we may conceive some acts wherein the humanity of Christ did not concur with his divinity, vis-a-vis those that he wrought before his incarnation, but none wherein his humanity acted without his divinity. It followeth therefore that Christ performeth his office as God-man. 3. If many chief essential acts of Christ's mediation are from the deity of Christ, as from the next, proper, formal, and immediate cause, then Christ performeth not the office of mediator as man only, but as God-man. But many chief essential acts of Christ's mediation are from his deity, as the next, proper, formal, immediate cause. Ergo, the minor is proved by these instances. The incarnation of Christ is from the deity, which did assume the humanity, which when it was not, could not assume itself. The manifestation of God was a work truly divine, which was from the deity as the true cause, though from the humanity as the instrument. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ as man teacheth as an instrument, and Christ the Word teacheth as mediator. The works of authority and power were all performed by the divine nature. 4. If Christ as mediator performed many divine acts, which cannot be from his humanity alone, then Christ performeth not the office of mediatorship as man only, but as God also. But Christ as mediator performeth many divine acts, which cannot be from his humanity alone, such as his rising from the dead, which was by the power of his deity, Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, in Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20. Christ as mediator hath power and authority to forgive sins, and to send the Holy Spirit to enlighten the understanding, to soften the hearts of men, and that not only meritoriously, but efficiently, which are the proper works of God. Mark 2, verse 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And John 16, verse 7. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. 5. If none of the works performed by Christ as mediator, whether the works of ministry that were performed by him in the nature of man, or the works of authority and power performed by the divine nature, were performed without the concurring of the other nature in Christ, then Christ performeth the office of mediator not as God alone, nor as man alone, but according to both natures as God-men. But the former is true, ergo the major is proved by parts. 1. The works of ministry which were performed in the nature of man and were the works of Christ's humanity, such as were his death upon the cross, etc., yet the divine nature was concurring in these, not only to support and sustain the human, but the things done had its efficacy, dignity, and value from his divinity, in that they were the works of him that is God. It was the Son of God, the Lord of life, that died on the cross, but it was the nature of man, not of God, wherein he died. Yet it was the divine nature that did support him and gave worth to his sacrifice. 2. The works of authority and power, such as the remitting of sins, giving the Spirit, raising the dead, which were the works of his divine nature, yet were not done without an instrumental concurrence of the nature of man. 6. If the end of the personal union of the two natures of Christ be the fitting and qualifying of him for the office of mediatorship, as is before cleared, then the two natures do and must necessarily concur in the works of mediation, at least after these were united, else the union of the two natures had not been necessary in Christ, for the same necessity is for the concurring of the proper works of the two natures in the mediator's work, that is, for the union of the two natures in his person, the end of that union being to fit him to act in this office as a qualified person. This ends tape number 16 of the Ark of the Covenant Open, or a treatise of the Covenant of Redemption. Please go to the next tape in the series and continue listening. Thank you. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as SWRB's complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more, at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. This book, The Ark of the Covenant Open, or A Treatise of the Covenant of Redemption, is also available from Stillwater's Revival Books in softcover format at a discount in our A to Z author listings. And please, don't forget to look over the 30 CDs that make up our Reformation Bookshelf CD set if you visit our website at swrb.com, as these CDs are a great way to build a major Reformed library at a fraction of the cost of the printed book.